What's up, everybody? Welcome back to episode 44 of Positivity Spartans. It's your boy, the legendary Hub, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Marcellus, the model James, and Eric, the troublemaker Lane. What's up, fellas? How y'all doing today?
What's up?
You know I had to throw that in there, man. Yeah, you was looking like an R&B cover, dog. Yeah, today we are joined by two special guests, good friends of Lane's. First, we have Antoine Bailey, former running back for Syracuse University. And then we have Demonte Green, former linebacker, defensive tackle for Albany State. Demonte, just goes on here for a little bit, man. You attend high school at Fairmont Heights, undergrad in criminal justice from Albany State University. You the lead at McKinley Package and Sports, background 4-year football at Fairmont. 2 years at Aquinas College, won the Graphic Edge Bowl in Iowa. 2 years at Albany State University, won the SIAC Conference Championship in 2013. Woo! And you still playing the game, my man, for the Metro Atlanta Horsemen. That's what's up. Family man, married for 4 years with two kids, man. God bless them all. How y'all doing today, gentlemen?
Hey, we good, man. Hey, you ain't got my last name messed up, man. It's Queen, man.
Oh, did I not say Queen? My fault, brother. My fault, man. I was reading the text message. I'm reading a little too fast. My fault.
It's all good, bro. It's all good.
Man, that's a pretty extensive resume, my brother. So you got a love for the game, huh?
Yeah. Ever since I was little, man.
Then so you started playing like was it Pee Wee? Since Pee Wee?
Yeah, I started playing when I was 7, man.
7,
I
mean, sheesh.
Yeah, 7 years old. I ain't really know the game that much, man. I was still learning, man. Coming up behind my cousins. My cousins, they, you know what I'm saying, they kind of like pushed me into it because I was so aggressive when I was little.
Right.
And my mom put me into it, you know what I'm saying? I had like a hyper problem, so.
Yeah, put that energy to something useful.
Yeah.
I can dig it, man. I can dig it. Antoine, what about you, man? What's up? So, former running back for Syracuse, man.
For sure, man. For sure. Yep. Cuse. Pretty similar. I started playing when I was about 6. And just had that love for the game, man.
Yeah. That's really what it comes down to, man. When you have that love for the game, it can take you places.
Oh, big time. Big time.
No, did you what was your undergrad or what do you have a degree in, if you don't mind me asking?
No problem. I graduated with a bachelor's in sport management.
Okay. Man, so both of y'all do a lot of on and off the field for the sport.
Definitely.
Yeah, I dig it, gotta give back, I feel it. So now today's topic, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about kind of the experiences through an HBCU and a traditional university, which is why we have these two fine gentlemen on here. Man, I just want to start off by thanking y'all for coming on the show. We greatly appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to be here, man.
Sure, bro.
Oh, for sure, man. And Lane's been pretty excited about this one, so I'm gonna let him kick it off, bro.
All right, cool. So, again, I appreciate y'all coming on, man. Y'all know I got a lot of respect and gratitude for both of you gentlemen, but I'm going to take it back a little bit. So, Antoine, your experience is quite different. You started at Fairmont Heights, which is a public school. Then you transitioned to a private school in D.C. Uh-huh. So, just talk about that experience, how, you know, playing for public school, obviously in the urban area, then going to a suburban area and playing for private school.
It was definitely different. Coming from Fairmont and then going to St. John's to play, it was the biggest difference would probably be the structure. The structure and I would say the buy-in. Coming from Fairmont, where it would be, you know, where it would be a few of us working out, getting ready for the season, compared to where you got, you know, an entire team in there. And we know what's expected of us, and we know what we have going on as far as those workouts and what's needed and what needs to happen. Though I would say that was more the bigger side of it. You're getting. It was almost like going to that college level before getting there. You know, because most of us who were there, we knew what we wanted to accomplish. So that was the main goal set at the hand.
Okay, that's dope. That's dope. Shit. Marcellus, it's on you, brother.
So it was more of a mindset thing, huh? So when you transferred?
Oh yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. I can tell the climate definitely changes when you get around a group of individuals who have the same like mindset and goal. I mean, it definitely pushes you to want to be better and, you know, work on your craft way more.
That's a fact.
So all right, so for the next question, I'll start off with DeMonte and then Antoine can follow up. What made you decide on whether you wanted to go to a HBCU versus the traditional university?
I mean, the crazy thing about it, I mean, when I was at Lackawanna, I was going to go to Arkansas, but they were going to say I had to sit out for you. And crazy thing about it, I didn't even want to sit out. So one of my cousins that played at Albany State before I even went there, he was at Grambling before he transferred to Albany State. So I reached out to him, and he was telling me, you know, come down there. I was at home during the summer, and I told him, you know, I was at home, and he said, hey, come down here. So I was like, all right, cool. So the same day, he told me to send the tape to the coach. The same day I sent my tape to the coach, he offered me a scholarship the same exact day.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, I signed there, and then, I got on the plane, went down to Georgia, and never came back.
Mm. Wow.
Why would you have to sit out a year?
For transferring.
Oh, just for transferring. Okay, cool.
Transferring.
Okay, yeah, I'm not too hip on that.
It's a redshirt year?
Yeah, I just didn't want to sit out.
Yeah,
that's a respectable decision. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of wasting a year. You didn't want to waste a year. I understand that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I had talked to, you know, prior to that, I had, you know, conversations with several HBCUs, you know, like Tennessee State. Mm-hmm. You know, I had talked to them a lot. You know, I had talked to Virginia Union, you know. But like I said, I mean, you know, going – on the big stage, I mean, that's anybody's dream. I mean, that was one of my dreams.
Right.
But, I mean, it turned out to be a totally different way, man, but I made the best of it.
For sure.
Yeah. I understand that.
And Antoine, for you?
I will say, one, just probably the same as DeMonte. It was one of my dreams to play on the big stage, but also, like, I never got recruited by any HBCUs. You know, there were only the traditional universities who came after me, who offered me scholarships. You know what I mean? Who played the recruiting game with me?
Do you think that would have prompted your decision to go elsewhere if you had been recruited by HBCU opposed to a big school?
Possibly. Like I was definitely open. I was definitely open. You know, I listened to everybody who was willing to recruit me. You know, everybody who was willing to stop by. They had an opportunity. I mean, it was it pretty much for me, it had come down to Syracuse and Old Dominion. And at the time, Old Dominion wasn't even a Division I school, you know, but it was I loved everything they were doing. I loved that it was that they were starting up a program. I loved the location. So I think if they would have recruited me, it would have, who knows what would have happened.
Yeah, for sure. It's crazy to think, like, you know, you didn't get any offers, you know what I mean? Like, so there wasn't really much you could do about that.
Right. Yeah, no, not a text message, not a phone call, nothing.
Wow. Yeah. So you think that's primarily because you attended a private school for high school opposed to DeMonte, where he went to a public school in PG County?
Not at all. Not at all, because you get players who come from those type of school who get HBCU offers. Shoot, my cousin who graduated a year before me got a all he received was a HBCU offer. Mm. So I don't think it was that.
But was your cousin like ranked in the state like you were, or well in the nation?
No, I was not ranked that high. To be totally honest, I wasn't ranked as high as I should have, as I thought I should have been,
mm-hmm.
or my place said. But no, he wasn't ranked.
I think that kind of has influence on them selecting people too. You know, because if they know 5 D1 public schools are going after them or whatever, they might not try to go after that person just based off of their popularity.
I think they should also.
Yeah, I agree.
I think they should too. 100%.
Yeah, I definitely do. The DeMonte. What was the recruiting process like?
When I was in high school.
Yes.
Oh man, I was getting sent. I mean, I was leaving class. Towards my freshman and sophomore year. I mean. Of course, when you're a freshman, a recruiter really can't talk to you in
mm-hmm.
your freshman year. But, I mean, when I started my sophomore year, my first ever talk with a recruiter was Maryland University.
Okay.
And it started getting heavier towards my junior year. And when my junior year came, man, I was getting sent out the classroom to talk to a recruiter pretty much almost every day.
Right.
I mean, it was plenty of days, man. I would talk to about 3 or 4 recruiters a day, you know. So I mean, it was pretty heavy.
And so did it differ from like traditional universities to the HBCUs? Did you notice like different recruiting tactics or anything?
To be honest, I didn't even talk to an HBCU when I was in high school.
Okay.
So I mean. HBCU wasn't even in my mind.
Right.
I mean, I didn't really, you know, really think about HBCUs. I mean, I was really mostly thinking about, I mean, the people that was talking to me the most, like Maryland University,
mm-hmm.
James Madison. I mean, Syracuse was on me heavy. I was always getting orange letters from them mm-hmm. all the time. Duke, you know.
Okay.
So I was really focused on them.
Yeah. No, I dig it. The schools that wanted you, of course, you would focus on the same thing with Antoine. You know what I mean? He was just focusing on the schools that wanted him. And was it a similar experience for you, Antoine?
Yeah, it was. I mean, the recruiting process, I would say it was. I wasn't a big fan of it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a big fan of it. I'm sure, as Eric knows, I'm not a even though. All these things have happened as far as football is concerned. I'm not the in your face and the I need the spotlight type of
yeah. Dude, yeah, so. You try to stay out the limelight.
That's why I'm real chill, bro.
For sure. No, so
I feel you, man. I'm the same way, yeah. So I can resonate with that.
Yeah. So I mean, it wasn't my favorite from that side of things. But on the other side of it, I felt I didn't get as much, I guess you could say, respect or as much attention on that side of things as I thought I should have. With the mm-hmm. as far as my when you compare my production to the way things end up playing out ultimately.
Yeah.
Hey, a lot of guys don't know Antoine used to play quarterback, man.
Oh yeah! Hey, I remember when he played quarterback when he was Peppermint.
Yeah, man, Antoine was a quarterback for that running back, bro.
Yes, sir. And he had an arm.
Oh yeah, oh, definitely.
My
man.
Only problem is I never grew since that day. That's my only issue.
You've been about the same size, like height since about middle school for sure.
Oh no, I definitely have. That is no question.
Kyler Murray before Kyler Murray, huh?
He's been playing quarterback with the Meek Mill cornrows, y'all.
Don't bring those back. Man. You're late exposed. That's crazy.
DeMonte, what was your favorite experiences about attending the HBCU?
The first thing I'm gonna say, my favorite thing was meeting my wife. That's the first thing.
Okay, respect.
What year did you meet her?
Yeah, he a couple claps for that
one. Right.
I mean, be honest without my wife, I wouldn't even have made it all the way through graduating the HBCU. Toward my last year of being in the HBCU, she kept me focused.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I'm saying? So. Yeah. I experienced most of my partying and all that stuff when my first year there. So, I mean, another memory as far as football, just coming out the locker room and seeing the fans and just hearing the marching band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, just hearing the marching band, that just gets you pumped up, get your blood flowing, you know. And just the support, man. You got a lot of alumni, you know, a lot of people that, you know, that went there over the years just come back to support you, you know, especially during homecoming. You know, a lot goes on during homecoming. So, you know, it's just the support, man.
Dope, man.
Yeah, that's got to be energy. Because I know them marching bands be going crazy, huh?
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah. Man, it's crazy, man. Then, you know, just looking at the crowd, man, you just seeing people wearing your jersey number, you know, all types of stuff, man. It's nothing but love.
Is it like Drumline?
Actually, it is. It is.
Yeah.
It actually is, man.
That's sick.
It's a crazy experience, man. Man, then the the classic games.
Mm-hmm. You know, playing at rival schools.
Yeah, man, you know, it was just so exciting, man. And it's just like, you know, my first ever game, I mean, my first ever HBCU game, I played against Savannah State.
Ooh.
And yeah, we drove up to the stadium. We was on the buses, and you just see people tailgating, you know. As you rolling in, people just waving at your buses, screaming at the buses, and all types of stuff, man. It's just, it was a great experience.
Yeah, okay, I bet it is, man. That's got to be a surreal feeling, man. Feeling all that support from all them people you don't even know on a personal level. Antoine, can you attest to that? Was it the same for you in a traditional university?
Yeah, man. Definitely. You have a, you know, especially being in a traditional university in a true college town, man. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like your pro team, because that's the main attraction. But I mean, it's nothing like running out in the dome and it's 50,000 people screaming and all dressed in orange. So that's always a great experience.
Yeah.
and a great feeling for sure.
Yeah, them student sections, man. I know for both HBCUs and traditional universities, I know them student sections be lit.
Oh yeah.
Definitely be lit.
I miss undergrad, bro. I would go back in a heartbeat. but we didn't have a football team at Eastern Shore, unfortunately. So basketball season was our bread and butter.
Yeah, that was when everything went up.
Yeah, basketball season was our bread and butter.
Oh man, y'all was a party school, man.
We was all right, man. We was all right. I had a little fun up there. Had a little fun.
So DeMonte, what's the classroom size in the HBCU?
Mm-hmm. The classroom side, it just depends on, I mean, I said, man, they got a couple classes, I mean, like, I ain't gonna say auditorium size, but, I mean, they nice size, just like a regular traditional school, you mm-hmm. know, and then you got some classes that are small, like, if you was in a high school.
Yeah. Okay.
You know? So, I mean, you pretty much in the smaller classes, of course, man, you conversate more with people in the smaller classes than you do as far as the bigger classes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I say, I mean, that's how it was with me.
And Antoine, at Syracuse, was all the classrooms like auditorium style, or you had smaller classrooms too?
Surprisingly, no. Most of my classes were smaller classes. You get so a combination of a couple things. Different than a lot of the traditional schools. Syracuse is a private school, so it's like so. Compared to your Big Ten schools where you got 30,000 and 40,000 students there, Syracuse only is only about probably about 12,000 students.
Okay,
Then once you add on the major, like at the sport management program at Cuse is pretty competitive. So it was probably somewhere around like 40 of us who get into the program every year. So those class sizes are pretty small, especially within the majors. So I had a couple of auditorium style classes, but the most of my classes were like you were in the high school.
I got a question.
It's pretty surprising.
Go ahead, Eric. Hello?
Oh, okay.
That's your question.
Juan, you're a coach now, and Monte, obviously you play semi-pro, but you obviously give back to the lower leagues when it comes to football. For recruiting, what do you guys think needs to be done to kind of bridge that gap between PWIs and HBCUs? I know a lot of you guys probably follow college basketball, and the number one recruit for college basketball, he decided to go to Howard University opposed to any school in the nation. So that's a huge responsibility. So in a sense, he's kind of become a pillar, and he's setting a new standard for African-American athletes to decide to go back home, play with schools that, ultimately look like them. So what do you guys think needs to be done to kind of bridge that gap and make that decision a lot easier? Because that's a huge responsibility for a 17-year-old to make that decision.
Very, very huge responsibility. I don't think there's one cookie cutter answer to that. Like this is definitely multifaceted. Like you have one. I think basketball is very different than football. I'll say 99%, and I'm probably being generous. 99% of the guys who accept those full scholarships are trying to get to the NFL. Very, very different in, I would say, the basketball side of things, because there's so many
avenues.
Yeah, so many avenues. Like if you don't make it to the NFL, there's not really many spots you can do that you can make a living off playing that game. Maybe. You know what I mean? So yeah. Very different. Also, now you got to take into account also basketball you can one and done. He can potentially have to really do like one semester of school and get out of there and be gone. Football, very different. You gotta at least do three, and most people are doing four, and a good majority are doing five. And then the other part is you're looking at there's so many guys on a football team, right? So just think about. Let's say at Division 1A traditional schools that are giving full scholarships, they're probably giving out anywhere between 20 and 25 full scholarships. At a lot of HBCUs, but Division 1 AA schools, a lot of those scholarships are not full. So now you're looking at having a 17-year-old bear the responsibility of changing a guard, but also choosing between having college paid for and taking out a loan or whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. Like there is, you get those. I'd say those three things But number four is, don't count yourself out. Recruit these athletes, man. Recruit them. Go get them. Like, there's no reason. There's no way in hell I shouldn't have talked to any HBCU.
Right.
You know, especially being true. Me being here, we got Howard right in the city. You got
Coppin, Dale
State up the street. You got Hampton down the road. Yeah, like, it's right. Morgan State right up the street. You got way too many HBCUs around for us not to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. That's definitely true. You being right there in the area. You know what I mean? I can definitely see how you would feel that way. DeMonte, what are your thoughts?
I mean, my opinion, I say as far as the recruiting game, I mean, I feel like more recruiters, just like Twan said, I mean, all these schools that's in state, I mean, they need to learn how to sell and keep their players in state.
Right.
I mean, you got a lot of talent in the Maryland area, the PG County area. You know, you got the Joe Haytons, you got all types of players. I mean, and Maryland, like places like Maryland University and all the other HBCUs, done let them get out of state. I mean, Twan, for example, Twan, they're gone to Syracuse. I mean, what if it was that he went to Howard University? Then what?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I feel as though, I mean, we got to work hard. I mean, as far as recruiting, they got to work harder to keep the players in state. I mean, to make it way more competitive. I mean, because, like I said, all these good players that's going out of state, what if you keep them in state?
Right.
I mean, a Maryland school would be ranked in the top 10. I mean, we leaving out of state and making these other states better and putting them in rankings and the sport, I mean, the schools in our own home state.
Yeah, that's real, because if you look at it, when it comes to athletics, Florida keeps all their talent in state. Georgia keeps all their talent in state. Texas, they may keep their talent in state, but it most definitely stays in the South. So you definitely have valid points.
Hey, nobody on the University of Alabama football team from Alabama.
but look at it though. They know how to sell.
Right, for sure.
They know what to do. I mean,
you want to win a championship.
I mean, my thing is, me as a recruiter, if I was a recruiter, I mean, to me, I try to take notes from that.
Right.
What are they doing that I'm doing different?
Winning.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but
so that kind of
national exposure.
See, that's the thing. See, that's the thing. It ain't just all about winning.
Yeah.
It's about the education too.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
I mean,
preach.
You can't just culture. Go somewhere just because, okay, they got a great football program.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you ain't gonna play football forever. What you gonna do when it's all over and done?
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You got to think about still. You always got to have that plan B. So, I mean, recruiters, you got to – I mean, as a recruiter, you got to persuade that person, you know, after football, I mean, my institution can change your life for the better.
Absolutely. Man, that's
– Right. That's kind of like John Thompson. Yeah,
because if you recruit me, I don't care. I mean, you can win. But, as far as your education, if your education ain't there for me, then I probably won't go to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Man, that leads perfectly into the quote I wanted to speak on today by Malcolm X. Education is the passport to the future, for tomorrow belongs to those who prepare for it today.
You know,
what I'm saying? And you know, whether you choose to go to HBCU or you choose to go to traditional university, you know what I'm saying? It all comes down to that education and that diploma at the end of the journey.
Fact. 100%.
Yeah.
For sure, man. For sure. Man, I know y'all done watched Judas and the Black Messiah.
I have not yet.
You have not? Oh,
yes,
man.
Sir. Yes, sir.
I missed it.
I had just watched the other one where he held the police station hostage like last
American
weekend.
Skin?
Yeah.
Okay, I need to watch that one. Nah, man, Judas and the Black Messiah, definitely one that you got to check out. One thing I wanted to point out was I was never taught how young he was, and it's crazy how young he is. He was.
He was, right, he was right. 17 when he started.
Right. Yeah.
21 years old.
He was very young. No, you know what I'm saying?
21 years old, bro.
No clue.
He had a degree and everything, man. And that's a lot of the stuff that we don't learn and that we're not hip to in history. You know, it's crazy. I just want to point that out. for the listeners and the viewers. And I also wanted to say, check out the soundtrack. The soundtrack is straight fire. The soundtrack is like straight fire. Like every song on there, I mean, you won't have to skip it. What music do y'all bump to when y'all train, man?
Oh man, I'm a Jeezy fan. Yeah, I go nuts in the weight room, or I go nuts during it before a game or anything off of Jeezy.
Yeah, that was your hype song, was Jeezy.
Oh yeah,
any Jeezy, I can dig it, man. I can dig it.
Jeezy, you was hype about hype. That versus.
I think Jeezy won the versus, if we're gonna be completely honest.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he definitely won.
No question.
By a landslide.
It's not even
a landslide victory.
Not even close.
Not even close. And the crazy thing about it, he didn't even play all the classics like he's supposed to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely miss up.
I do want to ask, so what was the bands like, you know, in the HBCU versus in Syracuse? Was there like a difference in how hyped the band got in Albany State?
It was a big difference.
Yeah?
I'm sure.
I don't know how the band was the circuit. I'll let Twan gotta explain that to you. Yeah, but I know us, we were playing vice versa, Pastor Troy. We was that type of HBCU. I mean, that's how we was doing.
Yeah.
I wish. Nah, you ain't gonna get none of that. You definitely get that fight song. They gonna give you that at the end of the game for sure. Get that fight song. They gonna give you all that.
We got the fight song at the end of the game. We had to do the fight song, but during the game, the halftime show, man.
A performance.
Oh, battle of the bands, man.
I dig it. So what was the climate like off the field at the HBCU? Like, just to speak on that a little bit.
The climate as far as what?
As far as, you know, just, you know, out of class, like, you know, walking around campus and things like that. Like,
Okay. For Albany State.
Yeah.
I mean, we had this little thing called the yard. I mean, you got your Greeks, you got your Cubes, your Calvin strolling, you got your AKA strolling, your Delta strolling. You probably got the DJ probably be playing on the yard.
Yeah.
Man, it be a whole bunch of stuff going on, man.
So
it's a vibe, bro. It's a vibe, bro.
You were like able to associate with all of them, like each frat.
Say it again.
As a football player, you were able to associate with all the frats?
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, you can associate. I mean, if they want you, if you want to associate with, or if they want to associate with you,
mm-hmm.
I mean, most of the time, I associated with a lot of Cube.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't join a Cube, but I knew a lot of Cube.
Yeah. Not for that.
Yeah.
What about you, Antoine?
Yeah, for that.
It depends on the time of the year for sure. I mean, it gets real cold up in Cuse. So,
oh yeah. It all depends
on the time of the year. But you definitely don't have no DJ out on the quad. That ain't happening. But I mean, we had the Greeks up there. One thing about being at a school like that is you have that huge population, but you have that one. You have the school inside of the school, so the black community inside of the university.
Mm-hmm.
Which was huge for me. So of course we had the parties, we had the step shows, we had the Greeks, we had all that going on. So it was almost like our little community inside of the university. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I can dig that. I can dig that.
That's pretty dope, man. Yo, I got a question. Something I've always wanted to know. So a question for both of y'all, Monte, at the HBCU. You guys are prepping to play a big D1 school. The odds are against y'all. No one expects you guys to win. What's your preparation like? And for Antoine, big D1 school, you guys are prepping to play a small school. Like, what's your preparation like? Do you prepare as if it's a normal game, or, you know, like, you're not really giving it your all because you know the competition on the other side of the ball is, you know, it's not
of
as hard.
I mean, any given Saturday, anybody can get beat. Yeah. I mean, you can't just because it's a small name, you can't just go in there just thinking, oh, you're going to whoop me.
Yeah.
I mean, look at, for example, look what Georgia State did to Tennessee 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to think about
Michigan, Appalachian
State. Yeah,
you got to
think about stuff like that. I mean, them small schools just as hungry as the big schools. I mean, that's when you going up against a bigger school, that's a time that's a time for me to shine. Especially if you're a big name. Mm-hmm. I mean, shoot, you want to be on the spotlight. I mean, you gotta embarrass some people that's already on the spotlight. So, for me, I mean, that's big time for me, cause I'm gonna make you, you know, I'm gonna show you the reason why I should be where you at.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's all football. So, like I said, anybody can get beat any Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a mindset thing. It's a mindset thing for sure. Cause like Demonte said, on any given day, you can be victorious or you can take that L. So you are the goal is to definitely prep like everyone is the big one. Prep like everyone is the big one, because that time you let your guard down, that's when you fall. That's when you lose those games you're supposed to win. So you definitely always gotta prep like it's the big one. But I mean, we are human. So when you do have that big one, you naturally go a little harder, for sure.
Facts.
Yeah, it shouldn't be any other way.
I definitely feel that.
Right.
I feel that.
My bad. I had to sip some water. My mouth was getting a little dry. I definitely want to thank y'all, fellas, man. We'll be wrapping it up a little soon. Anything y'all want to share with the crowd? Anybody you want to shout out?
Shout out to the Horsemen, man. Shoot, rest in peace, to Ralph Payton, man. A true legend, man.
Oh yeah, Coach Payton, the GOAT.
He gave my first ever little scholarship, man. So. Rest in peace to that man. You know, shout out to Fairmont. Shout out to Coach Rodney Williams. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to C Pleasant. You know.
For sure. I appreciate y'all having me on, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I definitely enjoy being on. If anybody's still into the game, check out my site, RB Mechanic. I train a lot of running backs in the area, and I got a little bit of knowledge on there too. So, go ahead, check.
Oh, for sure. Drop your website so that way we know where to check y'all out. The URL.
Yeah, RBMechanic.com.
Bet. That's what's up, man. Love to hear, man. I love when people give back, man. So we're definitely gonna promote that for sure.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no doubt, ladies and gentlemen. And also be on the lookout for Marcellus's model debut sometime here soon. my man out here doing big things. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, positivity, prosperity, peace.